Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 7th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 11.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Our feature story coming up in today's episode, an update on the future of Kingston's addiction and mental health services. With the closure of the city's consumption and treatment services site on the horizon due to loss of provincial support, and recent news of the city being approved for a provincial heart hub, council discussed and ultimately approved a multi-part response to support the community through this daunting transition to the abstinence-only recovery model. In other news, we'll be running through some more updates directly from City Hall, your weather and traffic report for this upcoming weekend, and a few events to keep on your radar from CFRC's events and concerts calendars. Without further delay, let's dive in. At their last meeting, council once again tackled the uncertain future of Kingston's addiction services. It was announced in March that Consumption and Treatment Services, CTS, which has operated alongside the Integrated Care Hub since 2018, would close effective September 30, 2026. The CTS serves hundreds of vulnerable residents annually, preventing overdose deaths and averting emergency room visits. This closure is due to the provincial decision to cut funding to CTS sites across Ontario, effective June 13th. After much uncertainty about what would come next, the province announced on April 10th that a new Homelessness and Addiction Recovery Treatment Hub, or Heart Hub, will be established in Kingston. Provincial Heart Hubs will provide services related to addiction recovery, primary care, and supportive housing. However, unlike the CTS model, Heart Hubs require abstinence as a condition of access and will not provide services like drug checking, needle exchange, and safe consumption. Counselors and local experts alike have acknowledged there will be significant gaps upon the closure of CTS.
Without a replacement, you are cleaning up a neighborhood, you're moving the medical emergencies out of the controlled clinic and into the public parks, our alleyways and our business doorways. You are turning the entire city into an unmonitored injection site. These deaths won't be hidden, they will be on our sidewalks. If you remove CTS and leave only the AMHS in that building, you are pushing the remaining staff to the brink. They lose almost half their specialized team while the crisis remains at 100%.
Supervised consumption services are part of a continuum of care. They cannot exist on their own, but they also cannot be adequately replaced by other services, including heart hubs. Addiction is a complex medical condition that affects outwardly visible behavior. So it's easy for people to form opinions about how someone should act or what treatment should work, but this is a medical issue, and we should not rely solely on opinion. We should rely on systematic observation and data. And even if Kingston had a heart hub, that would not change the fact that our community members still need supervised consumption services. It'd be like trying to run a trauma system and saying, we'll fund some bandages, maybe a tourniquet, and access to a surgeon, but we'll not fund the ambulance to get people to the hospital. Certainly some injured people would still make it to the hospital, but many people would be left behind without the care they need. For some people, taking CTS away in the name of saving money will cost them their lives. If we truly value these lives, then money spent on CTS is money well spent.
This is exactly what will happen with the closure of the CTS. It will rob people of the opportunity to change and to become better themselves because they're not on our timeline.
In a lengthy meeting in March, council began discussing what the CTS closure means and how the city will navigate it. At their meeting on Tuesday, May 5th, now with the knowledge of a confirmed heart hub from the province, council continued the conversation. A motion from the Arts, Recreation, and Community Policies Committee came before council, laying out a multi-part response to the looming closure of Kingston's CTS site. Two pieces focus on understanding the impact. Council asks the city's chief administrative officer to report back on what the provincial decision will mean for the integrated care hub, everything from the building lease to programming. Staff are also being directed to work with Kingston Community Health Centers to collect detailed data on harm reduction services to paint a clearer picture of what's being lost. There's also a communications component aimed at making sure residents know where to turn. The city will work with local partners to share information about available supports once the CTS site closes. The most notable parts of the motion are two more action-focused items. First, Council's directing the city solicitor, alongside the mayor and chief administrative officer, to formally assess whether the situation warrants a municipal declaration of emergency. That assessment is expected back in the third quarter of 2026. Second, Council's committing $350,000 in new funding to support community-driven solutions. The money will go toward pilot projects proposed by local organizations, with a focus on new harm reduction initiatives that can potentially operate at a lower cost. Councillor Brandon Tozzo added one more item to the list with an amendment: that Council formally opposed the provincial government's decision to close CTS.
I think that there's a substantial amount of work on the financial side has been done, but I think it's important that we send a clear message to the community where we as a political body stand on this. Closing of this will cause harm. It will affect a vulnerable community. And I want us to just make it a position that we fully oppose the closure of the CTS in the city of Kingston.
Councillors Gary Osteroff and Jimmy Hassan were opposed to the amendment. Osteroff was supportive of the new Heart Hub model as a replacement, and Hassan pointed to the provincial responsibility for healthcare matters.
I can't support this. I believe that the heart and with addiction recovery, I believe that it's the better way to go. So I can't support this.
I think it's not a good strategy to just oppose their decision. That's what their decision. That's their department. That's their responsibility. So we have to live with it, but we'll continue to support however we can do. I will not support this amendment.
Mayor Brian Patterson, who seconded the amendment, spoke to the importance of CTS's place in the addiction care ecosystem in addition to a heart hub.
I think it was Councillor Ridge, who is not here tonight, who I think put it very eloquently when we first debated this, said what we really need is a CTS and a heart hub. This is not about suggesting that we're not in favor of the heart hub. The heart hub is great. It's a huge new investment into the community that will offer hope and recovery for those that are struggling with addiction. I'm a huge supporter of it, and I can hardly wait to see it up and running. What I'm suggesting, and I think that what has been discussed, is that ideally you would have both so that you can have a place where you can meet people where they're at. Obviously, not everybody is ready to immediately move into recovery, so allow them to be able to access harm reduction services and then be able to transition into the heart hub. Ideally, I think you could see both of those working together. So this is really, in my view, I was happy to second this because I think it just shows on principle that if it was up to us, we would want both. It's not in any way poking at the province, where I think we've been very vocal that we've been helpful or very grateful for the heart hub. But I think it still is very clear that ideally you would have both. So for that reason, I'm happy to second this amendment.
The amendment passed with a vote of 8-2. Councillors Osteroff and Hassan opposed. When discussion returned to the full motion, Councillor Jeff McLaren spoke in support, especially noting the importance of the $350,000 in funding for new projects and the opportunity for change.
This came as a result of ideas that were coming from the public that could help support the city's harm reduction efforts at a lower cost. And since we are looking for ways to save money, it seems that this is an opportunity to see if that could happen. That's the whole point of this pilot project. Take ideas from people on the front lines that want to start new enterprises, social enterprises that actually benefit people in a new and different way. I think this is a great way forward, and I hope that it succeeds, because what we've been doing up until now seems to be the situation seems to be getting worse, regardless of what we continue to throw the money we throw at it. So it's time to find some new ideas, and hence the word new community groups and new proposals.
Councillor Connie Glenn also spoke in support of the motion, with hope for the future of services in Kingston, but still bracing for the impact of the CTS site closure.
I'm very heartened to see this motion coming forward, and I hope that it's going to pass. I think I feel a positive wind here. I do believe that pilot projects may lead to some gold nuggets. We have deep-seated challenges here, and removal of support for the CTS is eventually going to hit this community really hard. So I think one of the things that needs to be reiterated here is that removal of these sites in other municipalities has led to an increase in overdoses. It's led to increased emergency room visits. Hamilton's one of the places that's been mentioned a few times that's seen this sort of thing happen. So I'm glad that we're going to do what we can to bridge the gap and hopefully preserve some services and see where we go from there. But in the short term, I think this is the right step forward for us. And then we'll have to have more conversations about how we get those other gaps filled and how we get the province to fill them for us, because we can't continue this way as we've seen with our budgetary pressures.
In the end, the motion carried with a vote of 9-1. Councillor Gary Osteroff opposed. Addiction and Mental Health Services KFLNA will be the lead agency for the new Heart Hub services. For now, the city clarified in a release that Kingston Community Health Center's Street Health Center will continue to provide primary care, addiction treatment, and harm reduction services. Low barrier services like the Access and Support Center, Rest Zone, and other integrated care hub programming will continue through and after the transition to a Heart Hub.
Hopefully things will not deteriorate any further with the interventions that we're putting in place.
Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting with traffic, Johnson Street from University Avenue to Aberdeen Street, expect delays for a contractor to complete storm sewer improvements until July 30th. King Street East from Plast Arms to Barrack Street will be closed May 8th and 9th from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for the Science Rendezvous at Slush Puppy Place. On Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street West, from Country Club Drive to Front Road, expect delays as Utilities Kingston work has reduced traffic to one lane in each direction. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. At the intersection of Montreal Street and John Counter Boulevard, construction is ongoing, with delays expected through the rest of this month. To keep in mind for tomorrow, Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue will be closed from 8:40 to 9:20 and 3:20 to 3:50 as part of the School Streets program, restricting access during school drop-off and pickup times. These closures will not impact the weekend. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Construction continues on Princess Street from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project. And finally, long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen between Johnson and William and Barrie at Queen. Getting into your weather report, tonight you can expect mainly cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers this evening and after midnight. Wind is coming from the southwest at 20 kilometers per hour, but becoming light later this evening. We have a low of +1 with patchy frost. Looking ahead, tomorrow, May 8th, we are starting the day with a mix of sun and cloud. Winds will be coming from the southwest at 20 kilometers per hour, and there is a 30% chance of showers late in the afternoon. We have a high of 12 degrees, and while the sun is out, the UV index will be at 6 or high. Clouds roll in later in the evening, and temperatures drop to a low of 6. On Saturday, May 9th, once again starting the day with a mix of sun and cloud, and we have a 40% chance of showers. Temperatures will reach a high of 14. We'll have a cloudy Saturday night with a 60% chance of showers and a low of 7. Finally, finishing off the weekend on Sunday, May 10th, more cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 14. The day finishes off with cloudy skies and a low of 6. This has been your quick traffic and weather report. Now back to more local news. Kingston is gearing up for another packed season of community events, festivals, and civic celebrations. The City of Kingston has released its lineup of special events for 2026, highlighting everything from major holiday celebrations to cultural festivals and community partnerships happening across the city this year. According to the city, many of the civic ceremonies and events will once again take place at Confederation Park and Springer Market Square. With familiar staples like Victoria Day on May 18th, Canada Day festivities on July 1st, and New Year's Eve celebrations returning at the end of December. The city is also partnering with local organizations for a number of cultural and commemorative events throughout the year, including National Indigenous Peoples Day on June 21st and National Day for Truth and Reconciliation on September 30th, in collaboration with Kingston Native Center and Languages Nest and the city's Indigenous Initiatives Office. To name a few major events on the summer calendar, the Kingston Sheepdog Trials are set to return to Grass Creek Park from August 7th to 9th, while a special Rockin' in the Square concert celebrating the legacy of the Tragically Hip and the 10th anniversary of the band's final concert in Kingston will take place August 20th in Springer Market Square. The city also says another large-scale event tied to the anniversary of the Hip's final Kingston show is in the works for August 22nd, though details have yet to be announced. Kingston will additionally host a stop on the Canada Celebrates FIFA World Cup tour on June 27th, ahead of next year's international tournament buzz. Alongside the event announcements, the city is also putting out calls for volunteers, vendors, and sponsors. The release from the city says volunteers are needed to help with event setup, information booths, crowd flow, and activity areas throughout the year. And local food vendors, artisans, and businesses are being encouraged to get involved as well. Applications for volunteers and vendors are open through May 15th through the city's special events office. For more information on these events and these opportunities, be sure to head to the City of Kingston's website at cityofkingston.ca. In another release from the city, the first major event on that calendar is coming up fast. The city is inviting residents to kick off the unofficial start of summer over the Victoria Day long weekend, with free programming planned for Monday, May 18th at Confederation Park. According to the city, the long weekend will also mark the seasonal reopening of a number of park amenities after the winter months, including public washrooms, picnic areas, and most splash pads, as Kingstonians begin returning to outdoors for the warmer season. The evening celebrations in Confederation Park will feature live music, a drone show, and fireworks. From 7 until 9:30 p.m., the Kingston Music Office will present Ahead by a Century, a youth open mic showcase from the Visitor Information Center patio. The showcase will feature young local performers sharing original songs and covers as part of what the city is calling a Forever Hip Summer, referencing upcoming celebrations connected to the Tragically Hip later this season. There's also a sweet bonus for attendees, free slush drinks courtesy of Slush Puppy, while supplies last. Then at 9:30 p.m., visitors can look skyward for a drone show presented by Slush Puppy before the night wraps up with fireworks display starting around 9:35. The city says admission is free and the event is open to all ages. The city of Kingston is getting a snapshot of how people are moving through the community, and the number suggests some major shifts since before the pandemic. The city has released results from its 2024 Kingston Moves Household Travel Survey, a large-scale transportation study examining how residents get around on a typical weekday, whether that's by car, transit, walking, cycling, or working from home. More than 3,500 households participated in the anonymous survey, conducted by independent research firm R.A. Malatest and Associates, with residents reporting travel activity for everyone in the household over the age of 5 during a 24-hour weekday period. According to the city, Kingston residents still make more than 400,000 trips every weekday, but households are now making fewer trips overall compared to 2019. One of the biggest trends highlighted in the report is the rise in walking. Walking now accounts for 23% of all weekday trips in Kingston, up from 18% 5 years ago. When combined with cycling and transit use, active and sustainable transportation now represents roughly one-third of all weekday trips across the city. The survey also points to the lasting impact of remote work habits. The percentage of residents working entirely from home has climbed from 8% in 2019 to 13% in 2024, while nearly 1 in 4 full-time workers reported working from home at least one day a week. City staff say the findings will help shape several major transportation initiatives currently underway, including Kingston's Integrated Mobility Plan, Transit Service Review, and Micromobility Regulation Strategy. Transportation Policy and Programs Manager Matt Cusin says travel behavior varies significantly depending on where people live in Kingston, making this kind of data important for future planning decisions. Residents interested in digging deeper into the numbers can now view the full report on the city's website. A final update from City Hall this evening. The city is once again looking to support projects outside the urban core through the return of the Rural Community Program Fund. After launching as a pilot program last year, the initiative is expanding for 2026, with the city now offering funding for up to 6 rural projects, one more than last year, with successful applicants eligible to receive as much as $5,000 each. According to the city, the fund is aimed at helping rural community groups, volunteer organizations, event organizers, and local partnerships bring new ideas and events to life, while building community connections and attracting visitors to Kingston's rural areas. Eligible projects could include everything from concerts and festivals to nature walks, cycling initiatives, public art, beautification projects, and tourism experiences. Craig Desjardins, director of the city's Office of Strategy, Innovation and Partnerships, says last year's pilot highlighted just how many opportunities exist across rural Kingston for community gathering, recreation, and cultural programming. Applications are open until June 8th and will be reviewed by city staff alongside the Rural Economic Community Working Group. The city says projects will be evaluated based on community impact, collaboration opportunities, tourism potential, and financial feasibility. More information about eligibility and applications is available through the city's Get Involved Kingston platform. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. Right after tonight's show, you can head to the Tet Center for a calm start to the evening. Paint without overthinking at 6. A relaxed painting session focused more on creativity than getting everything perfect. At 7, the Sydenham High School drama students present The Day the Internet Died. And at the same time, trivia takes over at both Riverhead and Something in the Water Brewing. For comedy fans, the Comic Strippers hit the Kingston Grand Theatre at 7:30 p.m. with an improv comedy show built around a parody male dancing troupe. Daft Brewing also hosts a stand-up comedy night starting at 8. Later in the evening, karaoke starts at Jersey's at 8:30 and The Buckle at 9, while La Vida hosts its weekly urban music social at 9:30. No shortage of events to start the weekend a bit early. Friday begins with Beat Council beatmaking and production with Will Hound at the Spire at noon, focusing on music production and beatmaking techniques. Also starting at noon is the perennial plant sale at Cook's Portsmouth United Church, running through the afternoon with a wide selection of spring plants and garden additions. In the evening, Little Cataraqui Creek Conservation Area hosts a frog night hike at 6:30. A guided outdoor walk exploring local wildlife and wetland habitats after dark. At 7, The Day the Internet Died returns to Sydenham High School, while Something in the Water hosts a salsa workshop for anyone interested in trying out Latin dance styles. Trivia also gets underway at Wild Wings Kingston at 7. To wrap up the night, karaoke starts at both Daft Brewing and The Buckle at 9. Getting into Saturday, May 9th, I think the busiest day this weekend, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 5 in Springer Market Square with local vendors, produce, baked goods, and artisan products throughout the day. Science Rendezvous Kingston takes over Slush Puppy Place from 10 to 3 with hands-on science activities, demonstrations, and interactive exhibits for all ages. Also running during the day is the Spring Vendor Show at the Tet Center from 10 to 4, featuring local artists, makers, and small businesses. At 2 p.m., the Kingston Frontenac Library Central Branch hosts a public lecture with Gordon Duick, titled Haircuts and Cakewalks, The Forgotten Black Minstrels of Kingston's Musical Past, exploring a lesser-known chapter of Kingston's music and cultural history. Saturday night features comedy across the city, including Gary D's funny You Should Say That tour at the Kingston Grand Theatre at 7, followed by Yuck Yuck's stand-up comedy at Daft Brewing at 8:30. Finishing off the weekend on Sunday, May 10th, we start with the Memorial Center Farmers Market from 9 to 1, always a reliable spot to find your favorite local vendors. From 10 to 4, Sandy Pines Wildlife Center hosts a wildlife baby shower and open house, featuring educational programming and opportunities to learn more about wildlife rehabilitation. The Great Lakes Museum also hosts Sunday Fun Day from 10 to 1, with family-friendly activities along the waterfront. For Mother's Day, the Tet Center hosts a Mother's Day tea at 11:30, while the Italo-Canadian Club holds a Mother's Day luncheon beginning at noon. Sunday night wraps up with karaoke at both the Merchant and the Toucan starting at 9. A little peek into next week if you want to hit the ground running on Monday, May 11th. Karaoke returns to Time Out Bar at 6, followed by Trivia at One Eye Jack's at 7, The Brass Pub at 7:45, and Something in the Water Brewing at 8. That wraps up your weekend forecast. Once again, that was just a few of the events coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to cfrc.ca for our full events listings. If you have an event you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.